It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we're going to start off today's show with berries that are ripe and berries that will soon be ripe. And among those berries that are ripe are the Juneberries. And if you haven't gotten your Juneberries yet, you better get them now because the birds are picking them off every day, grabbing the ripe ones and flying away and having a little mouthful of beautiful, wonderful Juneberry, one of my favorite berries. And they are sort of getting toward the end of their season. The other berries that are coming into ripeness right now and are just terrific are raspberries. And just about any, I'm sure, unless you live in a really unusual spot, there are raspberries near you. Because if you upset the soil, if you move things around on the soil, if you run through with a tractor or scuff up the soil with a bulldozer or something like that, or if a fire goes through, one of the first things to grow up in that spot is going to be raspberry. And the raspberries, there are two canes of raspberries. There's the floricane, which is the single stalk with no flowers, just green leaves. And then there is the fruticane, and that is the one that has the flowers and the berries. And the floricane this year will become next year's fruticane. This year's fruticane will die back, and a floricane will replace it. So raspberries are ripe and to be enjoyed. You can have them any way you like. I like mine just dropped onto vanilla ice cream, but you can make jams and jellies. You can make raspberry fizz. You can make a raspberry sauce for your ice cream. Just 100 ways to fix raspberries, and they are all delicious. The other plant that's in fruit right now and is ripe are the pincherry. And my pincherry is just, it is drooped. I mean, the branches are just weighted with these cherries. Now, they're still a little bit on the sour side, and it takes a while for them to really sweeten up. What's going to happen is before they get sweet, the white-throated sparrows and the robins and others are going to come in and help themselves. Dallas Hudson was chatting with me yesterday. He mentioned that a gray squirrel was in his pincherry, and a gray squirrel is a fairly massive animal. I mean, they're not small. And this gray squirrel was dancing out on the ends of these pincherry branches, and the pincherries aren't that big. I mean, a big pincherry might be 25 feet tall, and it's got these long, kind of thin branches. And if you put a gray squirrel at the end of a branch like that, it's definitely going to pull that branch down and cause the gray squirrel to have to do a lot of dancing. So keep an eye on your pincherry. And, you know, if you don't enjoy them yourselves, that's okay. But there'll be a crowd of animals that will show up and help you eat them. Among the other fruited plants out there, nannyberry, chokecherry, northern holly, all three have berries, lots of berries. It's a good year for berries. And all of those trees are, well, the chokecherries are starting to take a blush. So you're just starting to see a little bit of red color come up on the chokecherries. Nanny berries are still green, and the northern holly berries are still green. Nanny berry and chokecherry are edible. The northern holly, those are definitely bird berries. I've tried them all times of the year, and well, not all times of the year. I've tried them in the fall when they are ripe. That is when they are bright orange in color, and they're terrible. So I don't recommend them. Among other things that are putting out fruits and providing food right now, the hazels, the beaked hazel and the American hazel, both have very obvious nuts on them now. They've been kind of hard to see, but now they are quite developed and easy to see. So you can tell that the hazels are doing a pretty good job and putting out a pretty good crop of nuts. Dallas told me that the squirrels were snapping up the hazelnuts at his house. The bears None of that has happened at my house. Typically, it is the end of the first week, around the 7th or 8th of August, that the hazelnuts all disappear. And they will be plentiful until that moment. And it might be, like I say, the might be the 7th, it might be the 8th, it might be the 5th. It varies, of course, because it's never exactly the same. But when the hazelnuts get ripe, they are going to disappear within days. It seldom takes more than a week for all of the hazelnuts to get picked off and hauled away and eaten, because they are really valuable amongst the birds and the bears and the deer and everybody else who's out there looking for some food. The oak trees are now pretty obviously freighted with acorns. And the white oak, the bur oak, looks pretty good at my house. The oaks on the bur oak, the acorns on the bur oaks develop in 1 year. And the flowers are right at the ends of the branches, and that's where the acorns are. And so check out the white oak, bur oak in your neighborhood, and you will see the very beginnings of those acorns at the ends of the branches. The red oaks take 2 years for their acorns to develop. So if you're looking at a red oak out at the ends of the branches, you're going to see these tiny, tiny, tiny acorns that are going to be like just maybe an eighth of an inch across. And in 1 year's growth, just back of those little acorns will be the acorns that will be ripening up this year. And I looked at mine yesterday, and they're doing really well. So there's a big crop of red oak acorns ready to come, and they will show up really soon. That covers sort of the edible stuff. Now, among the flowers, bindweed, that's the one, that big white trumpet-like flower that everybody's going to be calling, what is it that they call that flower? They call it morning glory. But it's bindweed up here. The leaf of the morning glory is heart-shaped. The leaf of the bindweed is sort of sword or arrowhead-shaped. And we have more bindweed than morning glory up here. Morning glory may be in your garden if you planted the seeds, but it doesn't occur naturally that I have found. Perhaps in your neighborhood it is more common. Fireweed is probably at its peak of bloom right now. You're driving along this morning, you see these big patches of magenta, I'll call them pink, big patches of pink, tall pink spikes of flowers, that's fireweed. Creeping bellflower is in bloom. The kids were noticing it down in Little Falls. Up here, I have noticed it as well. If you come across creeping bellflower, it is a big bell-shaped flower, blue, and they tend to grow on one side of the stalk. So you get a stalk, all the flowers tend to be on the same side. Water hemlock is in bloom still, and that's the one we talked about last week, that white disc of flowers, extremely poisonous plant. You want to be really careful with water hemlock. There's a cress out there, and I'm not sure if it's hairy rock cress or just rock cress. I'm not sure. But it was in flower earlier, and now it has these 2.5-3 inch long pods that are tiny. I mean, the pod is 3 inches long, but if it's an eighth of an inch wide, it's probably more like a 16th. But the thing that caught my eye was that they're purple. So I'm driving down the road along the Blue Heron Drive, and I see these great swaths of purple, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And I get out and look, and it is the seed pod of this cress plant. The plant has these small white flowers, but it produces these long, very, very narrow seed pods, and they are purple, and they really shine, so it's really quite interesting. I was looking at the flat-topped goldenrod, the grass-leaved goldenrod. It is it's budded, but not yet flowering. The same is true of Canada goldenrod. Cattails are, the flowers are developing. The female flowers are brown now. The male flowers are kind of a greenish yellow, and they sit right on top of the female flower, and they are ripening, and the very tips of the leaves of the cattails are starting to turn brown. So you don't put too fine a note on that, but you're going to be seeing cattails getting browner as we go along. Clasping leaf dogbane is blooming. Joe pie weed is blooming. Jewel weed, not yet blooming. Jewel weed is the spotted touch me not. Orange trumpet shaped flowers, no flowers yet, but soon. And we'll let you know when the jewel weed gets its first flowers. Sunflowers are blooming. Well, let's see. One more, a brand new one. One that in past years I would have identified as purple-stemmed aster. Small blue flower, less than an inch across, yellow center, purplish stem. But there are two that are very similar. The shining aster, let's see, that one is Symphyotrichum firmum is shining aster. Symphyotrichum punicium would be the purple stemmed aster. And the difference is one has hairs down the mid vein, top and bottom of the leaf. So the one I looked at yesterday, the leaves were completely clean. No hairs on the mid vein on the bottom, no hairs on the mid vein on the top. Kind of a smooth leaf, easy to feel it. The purple stemmed aster has hairs on those same leaves, and the leaves are a little rougher. One of those subtle differences. It's a blue aster. It's blooming right now. It just started. It's a few days early. Typically, the average purple stemmed aster first blooms for me is around the 30th of the month. So that is one little highlight there. Let's see, in the birds, the bald eagles, there are young juvenile bald eagles all over the area right now that are testing their wings and getting ready for flight. My son told me of an eagle's nest that he passed on the way out to the lake we were visiting this past weekend, and the juvenile eagle in that nest was dancing around on the edge of the nest and testing its wings. Dallas Hudson told me the same thing is true of the eagle over by his house on Shingabee. The trumpeter swans on my lake are swimming around with their little cygnets, and that's kind of cool. I saw a juvenile red fox this past week, and Dallas was telling me that he put out a game cam in a new area because there's an area that he wanted to check out for animals and whatnot, and he said that by accident he set the thing up very close to a coyote's den, and he's gotten some pretty close looks at the young coyotes and mom or dad bringing food to them and teaching them to attack and how to jump on something and make the kill. So pretty interesting thing going on with the coyotes. Red foxes are probably doing the same thing right now. Quick note about insects. Down in the Twin Cities area, I saw tiger swallowtail butterflies. Those are probably eastern tiger swallowtails. I haven't seen a tiger swallowtail up here for a while. I would expect there'll be a population of them just before fall. I saw a bunch of monarchs yesterday, Halloween pennant dragonfly. This one is quite startlingly colored orange and brown wings. The widow skimmer butterfly or dragonfly, white and black patterns on the wings, and as I mentioned earlier, a bluet. Actually, two or three different species of bluets. These are damselflies, and the difference is the damselfly holds its wings parallel to its body when it's at rest, and a dragonfly's wings are perpendicular to its body, to the long axis of its body, when it's at rest. And that's the difference between a damselfly and a dragonfly. Do the wings fold along the tail, or do they stick out at right angles to the tail? right angles, dragonfly along the tail, damselflies. The bluets are one of the big groups of damselflies. And there was one that had a face shield between its eyes that was just the purest blue you can imagine. The same blue on its thorax and the same blue at the tip of its tail. And there was another one on my leg at the same time whose pattern was reversed. So the one had blue on the thorax with a black line down the sort of down the center. The other had a black thorax with a blue line down the center. Both had the blue face shield and the blue tip on the tail, but the different colored thorax. And so the bluets and all of the damselflies are quite interesting, as interesting to me as the dragonflies, and well worth a good look if you get the chance. Final note, I had a wood tick this past week, and it's the first one I've had in a couple of weeks. And it was a wood tick, not a deer tick. So we are in the season of rest for those wood ticks. And it gives us a chance to rest as well. So we don't have to spend half a day killing wood ticks and deer ticks or sticking them to adhesive tape and watching them struggle to get away. That is the Phenology Show for today. Remember, phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events, and it comes to you on KAXE. And your support is what makes all this possible. So thank you in advance.